It is certainly good to be here, and I appreciate that I've been asked by Eric to come here and asked by you, and just praise the Lord that I have the opportunity to deliver God's message to you. And before I do that, there is something that I'd like to share with you, and one of the things that you'll see is I really don't like standing back there. You know, I'd rather be out here. But on October 28th, 1996, I was in a completely different place than I am now. I was in Theta Care Behavioral Health, and I was being treated for alcoholism. It wasn't my choice. The doctor told me, he said, you can go to treatment, and your insurance at work will pay for it, or I can commit you to treatment, and you'll have to pay for it yourself. Which choice do you want? And I said, neither. I don't want to go. And he said, well, you're going to go one way or the other. So I thought about it for a few minutes, and I said, okay, I'll have work pay for it, and I'll go, but I'm not going to say that I'm going to cooperate. Because at that point, I had no desire to stop drinking. And I had been drinking every day for 23 years. I never, ever, ever drank one beer. I always drank all of them. But on October 28th, in that hospital room, I turned to Jesus and I said, please, 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 please take away the desire to drink. And he did it. And it's been 22 years and that desire has been alleviated. And that's a miracle. A lot of people say that there are no miracles anymore, that the only miracles happen in the Bible. I am living proof of a miracle. When Jesus takes away that burning desire to drink, and it doesn't come back, that is a miracle. So I just wanted to share that with you, that I am celebrating through the grace and the peace and the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ, the fact that I am no longer a slave to alcohol. And I just wanted to share that with you before I do my message today. So I'll go back here. And the message that I prepared is on repentance. Now, there's several different ways to preach, and the two most common ways to preach is one is expository, and what expository means is they take the verse and they preach on the verse systematically. The other way is topically, and that's pretty basic. You're preaching on a topic. I'm a topical preacher. I'm not comfortable with expository. I'm more comfortable with topical. So this may be a little bit different than you're used to, because most pastors and most preachers preach expository. So today's message is going to be on repentance. And the thing about repentance is once we place our trust and our belief and our faith in our Lord Jesus Christ, we are then led to repentance. And as I go into the message, I believe that you'll see that. So let's go ahead and begin with prayer, and then we'll get right into the message. Heavenly Father, we come before you this morning, and we just give you the praise, Lord, that you deserve for the beauty of another day, a day that you've created, another day of life that we can revel in, that we can celebrate, and that we can give you the praise that you deserve. Father, we give you thanks for the fact that you have sustained us throughout the week, and that you will sustain us from this point forward and forever. And Lord, we thank you for that. Father God, I thank you for the fact that these folks showed up today to hear this message, and I just ask, Lord, that whatever I say, that it be in your will. We love you, Lord Jesus. We give you all the glory, all the honor, and all the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Repentance. First of all, let's take a look at Webster's definition of repent. Webster defines repent as to turn from sin and dedicate oneself to the amendment of one's life, to feel regret or contrition, and to change one's mind. Now, that's Webster's definition of repent. The biblical definition or the biblical meaning of repent is best described by two Greek verbs. The first verb is regret of past actions. And for example, Judas regretted that he betrayed Jesus, but did not have a change of heart toward God. So Judas regretted that he betrayed Jesus, but the only reason he regretted it was for his own selfish purposes. And if you look into the Bible, and you look into the book of John, you will see that Judas was the person who was in charge of the money for the 12 and Jesus, and Judas was actually skimming off the top the entire time that he was collecting the money. So Judas was in a regret that he betrayed Jesus, but he did not have a change of heart toward God. The other word translated repent means a change of mind or attitude. It refers to a complete change about. And sometimes we refer to that as doing a 180. When the Bible encourages us to repent, it is that word that is used. Repentance is a complete shift of attitude toward God and away from sin. The word repent appears 41 times in 41 verses in the New International Version, and that's the Bible that I'm using. The first appearance is in 1 Kings chapter 8, verse 47, and it reads, "If they have a change of heart in the land where they are held captive, and repent and plead with you in the land of their captors, and say, 'We have sinned, we have done wrong, we have acted wickedly,'" notice that the phrase change of heart is used in conjunction with repent. The last time repent appears is Revelation chapter 16, verse 11. "And they cursed the God of heaven because of their pains and their sores, but they refused to repent of what they had done." Now in Matthew chapter 3, verses 1 and 2, John the Baptist calls for all to repent. And it says, "In those days, John the Baptist came, preaching in the desert of Judea, saying, 'Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near.'" Repentance is not reforming our life, nor is it a penance or an attempt to atone for sin. The difference between repentance and mere sorrow for sin can be seen in the examples of Peter and Judas. When Peter realized his fear overcame his loyalty to Jesus, Scripture says he went outside and wept bitterly. Judas, on the other hand, instead of coming to God in repentance, decided to take his own life. Scripture says he went and hanged himself. In Matthew chapter 4, verse 17 says, "From that time on, Jesus began to preach, 'Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near.'" In Luke chapter 13, verse 3, Jesus says, "I tell you no, but unless you repent, you too will all perish." After he had risen, Jesus made sure that his apostles would continue the call for repentance throughout the world. In Luke chapter 24, verse 46, he told them, "This is what is written: the Christ will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day, and repentance and forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations, beginning in Jerusalem." We are called upon by Jesus to continue in our repentance so that we might become holy and blameless. Now, but what about those people who have yet to be saved, or the lost? What about the lost folks out there? What about the lost who wander through life clinging to all that is worldly, not letting go for fear of losing everything? Where is their hope? We know that the only hope is by the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. We know that Jesus went to the cross and died, becoming the atonement for the sin of the world. On the third day, he rose from the dead, capturing victory over death, and all who believe in him are saved and assured of eternal life guaranteed. If we look back at the biblical meaning of repentance, we have established that it is to change one's mind, to turn to God, and turn away from our sin. Our whole life and attitude must change toward our Savior. We have to do that 180. An awesome example of unbelievers turning toward God can be found in the book of Acts, chapter 2, verses 37 through 39. When the people heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the other apostles, "Brothers, what shall we do?" And Peter replied, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. And you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise is for you and your children and for all who are far off, for all whom the Lord our God will call." And verse 41 goes on to say, "Those who accepted this message were baptized, and about 3,000 were added to the number that day." Can you imagine that? Being in that type of theater where you see 3,000 people come to know the Lord. It's kind of like Billy Graham when he did his evangelism on television and out there in those amphitheaters and stadiums where all those people would come down. But it would be an awesome experience. The simple gospel is Christ died for our sins and rose from the dead, and those who believe in him will be saved. In John's gospel, the word believe is used over 99 times. And let's take a look at the definitions of believe, faith, and trust. The definition of believe is to accept something as true, feel sure of the truth of it. The definition of faith is complete trust or confidence in something or someone, also a strong belief in God. And trust is acceptance of the truth or something or someone. I would like to suggest that the answer here and the reasons why is when we come to Christ, we must make a decision to leave sin and walk toward Jesus. When we leave sin, we are going in a different direction. You see, we have that change of mind. We make a complete shift in attitude from that which is of this world to embrace the grace of our Lord Jesus. The person who genuinely turns to Christ for salvation must at the same time release the sin to which he or she has been clinging and turn away from that sin in order to turn to Christ. Thus, neither repentance nor faith come first. They must come together. When we come to Jesus by faith, when we receive him as our Savior, we become obedient to him. In the Great Commission, in Matthew chapter 28, verse 20, Jesus says, "And teaching them to obey all that I have commanded you." In Luke chapter 15, verse 7, Jesus says, "I tell you that in the same way, there will be more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who do not need to repent." And 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9 says, "The Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. He is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance." So as we can see from these verses, the Lord wants us to repent. I think the easiest way to explain repentance is it can be defined as two faces of one coin. And what that means to you is when we turn from sin and walk toward Jesus, we are experiencing faith and repentance at the same time. 27 years ago, in a small restaurant in Eau Claire, Wisconsin, I placed my faith and my belief in Jesus. In my mind and in my heart, I repented of my sin by confessing to Jesus that I was hopelessly lost in this world. I confessed that I was a sinner, and although I know I did not deserve it, I could not go on any longer without Him. I left that day with the peace of God that transcends all understanding. The slate had been wiped clean, and all was forgiven. Now, I want you to understand that I am not a pastor, nor do I claim to be. I just have a desire, a burning desire to serve the Lord. And when I was in the Marine Corps, they made me a recruiter. They sent me through recruiter school, and one of the things that they taught in recruiter school was public speaking. So a few years ago, I said, how can I serve the Lord? You know, I can go to church, I can tithe, I can do this. I said, but what are my spiritual gifts? And I found that one of my spiritual gifts is that I can stand up here and I can deliver the gospel. So that's where I made that decision that no, I'm not a pastor, but I have the opportunity to share the gospel and share scripture because I have no fear of standing up here. The two biggest fears in life are death and public speaking. You know, it's not easy to get up here and talk. But when you have the Lord behind you and the Lord supporting you and you're teaching and preaching the word of Jesus Christ, how can you go wrong? You can't. So I just want to thank everybody for the opportunity that I was able to come up here and deliver this message. And I'll go ahead and I will close with prayer. Father, we know that it is by your grace that we are saved. Just as Jesus washed the feet of his disciples, we must wash the feet of one another through repentance. The fact that we turn from sin and walk that narrow path to you, confessing and asking for forgiveness of our debts through personal prayer and the fellowship of praying for one another continues to hold us accountable to ourselves. And most of all to you, thank you, Lord, for loving us enough that you humbled yourself to die on a cross. Thank you, Lord, for the promise you kept in resurrection and the gift of eternal life. We love you, Lord Jesus, and we give you all the honor and all the glory and all the praise in Jesus' name. Amen.